You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to be among the first to wish you a happy new year. I know we're still a couple of hours shy of it this evening as we kick off tonight's live broadcast at just past 6 o'clock Central Time on December the 31st, 2022. What an incredible last couple of weeks to be able to come to you on Christmas Eve and now on New Year's Eve. The calendar doesn't line up like that very often, if it ever has. But we have a sensational New Year's Eve broadcast for you tonight. We're going to give Dick Clark a run for his money, even though he's dead. But tonight we're going to welcome a parade of guests to the last broadcast of the year, where each will reflect upon 2022, share their hopes for the year to come, and offer some commentary on select news and current events for good measure. So appearing tonight to make their New Year's predictions and resolutions will be, you want Sam Dixon? He's coming up first in just a couple of minutes, followed by Jared Taylor, served up hot and fresh, Michael Hill, Sam Bushman, Tim Murdoch, Kevin McDonald. Yeah, that'll work for you. They're all coming up tonight, and maybe even more than that. We'll see who we can wrangle. All for abbreviated appearances tonight, but they will be coming on nonetheless. And folks, let me just, before we get to the show, the last show of the year, I want to tell you I am already so eager to blaze a trail into 2023. Next week, we're going to have a first-time guest right out of the gate coming on to kick off our, what will then be our new broadcasting year of 2023, followed by an old friend and favorite, and away we will go. So I am eager to do a few new things, a few new guests, a few new projects in the coming year. But tonight we celebrate and we look back on the year that was. And I want to just, again, before we get into that, take a moment to thank you. To thank you for your support of our work on the radio, not just this year, but every year. 18 years now. Everything we've accomplished over those years has been made possible because of your steadying influence. And because of you, and I guess you could say because of God's goodwill and Harry Cooper's wonderful incentives that we got from Shark Hunters, the 2022 Christmas fundraising appeal, the most successful in the history of the show. We have been working feverishly to fill orders with daily trips being made to the post office. Believe me, that part of the job isn't fun, but we're doing it. We're getting them out as fast as we can package them. If you have not yet received your incentive package, rest assured it will be in your mailbox very, very soon. So thank you again for that. As our work on the radio begins anew with the dawn of the coming year, it remains the greatest honor of my life, professionally speaking, to enjoy such a personal relationship and partnership with you, our dear family of listeners. We draw from you the strength to endure the hardships and, of course, the vital support, the financial and prayerful support needed to sustain our efforts. And we hope that what you can draw from us is of at least somewhat equal value. But it is always important for me to take the time to thank you for making possible all that we do. And it is entirely my privilege to be able to share in this struggle with you. We love you, and we give you our heartfelt appreciation this month, this quarter, this year, and always. And for all of you, and thank God there were a lot of you who sent in Christmas cards, like Denise up in Minnesota, who wrote along with her beautifully ornate card. I'm going to keep this short because I checked the weather and we're supposed to get another 8 inches of snow. The temperatures will dip below zero. We just got a week of snow, got shoveled out, wanted to get to the post office to get this contribution into the mail to you before we got snowed in again, such is life in the great North Woods. And she made mention of our Christmas Eve show. Wasn't that a lot of fun last week with Steve King, trio of lovely ladies, and then Pastor Brett McAtee presenting the Christmas story there in the final hour. But these cards, ladies and gentlemen, I'm picking up a handful. They all meant as much to me, one not more than the other, all equally. But this comes from Tori in Maryland. Merry Christmas to you and your family and to Keith. Thank you for the intelligent content. Keep up the superb work. Well, thanks to you and your husband, Tori, for your contribution and so many more like you. We can do that. And I will give the guests that we have on the credit for whatever intelligent discourse is done here. The guest and Keith, of course, but maybe I do a little bit of a job in keeping it all moving along. Listener Nathan up in Vermont, thanks for all you and your team do for our people. Well, thank you, Nathan. It doesn't happen without you. North Dakota, thanks for all your hard work, the listener writes. Well, thank you, Nelson, in North Dakota. I love reading. This is true diversity in the best sense of the word, the diversity of our listening audience. Have I even read one from the South yet? I mean, here we are, known for being a Southern-oriented show in a way. I mean, that is a big part of our identity. But here's one. Here's Roger. No, right. This is a different Roger. This is Roger from Pennsylvania. Best wishes for a great 2023. Well, Roger, with you by our side, my friend, we cannot fail. We will not fail with people like you, Roger. And here's one. Here is Mike from Georgia. Here we got to a Southerner. Hope this donation helps keep you and the great work you and your show are doing on the air. And that's from Mike in Georgia. So we will continue. Keith Alexander is out tonight. You know, he's catting around. It's New Year's Eve and he's out on the town, and that's fine. Listen, you can't live on the front lines all the time. Every soldier gets a furlough, so Keith is getting his tonight. He'll be back with me next week for the first show of the new year, and I've got some particular correspondence that I have, pieces of correspondence that I've picked out that I want to share with Keith, and we'll share a couple of more. Some really great, oh my goodness, one in particular from a relatively new listener that came in that I want to share with Michael Hill when he's on in the next hour. But yes, that's what's coming up tonight now that we have made mention of our respect and gratitude for you, our listening audience, here on this, our final show of the year. You're going to hear from, let's get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least a half dozen of your favorite guests are coming on tonight, and maybe even more than that. We'll see who picks up the phone and who can get in here. We sometimes work in people in real time. We'll call a favorite up and, hey, can you come on and 60 seconds? I think we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We'll get these predictions, hopes, resolutions, regrets. Hopefully there were none of those with some of our program mainstays. Sam Dixon up first and up next. Stay tuned, everybody.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's start this all-star parade of guests, and I would start it with no other way than with Sam Dixon, an attorney, counselor, mentor, friend, and advocate for our people, a lifelong advocate of our people, and few have done it better. Sam, it is great to have you on New Year's Eve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I listened to your flattery, and I just reflect that lawyers are the only profession condemned by Jesus.
Well, surely there are exceptions. Surely there must be, because here you are. And
you touch on a serious subject. I think one reason why lawyer jokes are so popular is that the people who oppress us and our misrulers, they don't like the idea of lawyer of citizens being guaranteed a lawyer in the Bill of Rights. They don't like us having the right to have a trained person represent us when the entire panoply of state power is brought against us. And so they would like to get around that. It's one of those things in the Bill of Rights that you'll hear them say, like the First Amendment hobbles the government in its fight against hate speech.
Well, thank God that he enabled you to become one of the righteous attorneys, because you've helped a lot of people. And you've done well, and you're doing well, and many others have done well. And anyway, most of the people we're having on tonight, Sam, we're having on to talk about reflections and hopes for the coming year, look back on the best and worst of 2022. You're actually on for something a little more heavy lifting than that. You're on to talk about a couple of things more topical in nature, news and current events. But first, just very, very, very quickly, before we get to the two topics that I emailed you about, the best and worst. I think if you look at the best, perhaps white racial consciousness has been increased over the course of the last year, according to some of the polls we like to cite, Twitter and Elon Musk. Worst would be the war, even though I see it from Russia's point of view, that is, you know, it's a terrible thing. And the inflation. What would you say the best and the worst if you had to pick just very quickly?
Answered your own question. Maybe the best and the worst is the fact that the establishment, the system, is destroying itself. It's doing everything. It's the only thing that our enemies are the only people who never fail us. Our friends fail us. White people fail us. Rich white people fail us. Working class and middle class white people fail us. Catholics fail us. The Presbyterians fail us. Everybody fails us except our enemies, and they're doing everything we would have them do. Our race cannot live. We cannot have a nation. We can't be a real people until the American system is consigned to the dustbin of history. And they're doing everything they can to destroy it. They have made it into just a mockery. It's just a cruel joke. All this stuff about the Bill of Rights, the right to a lawyer, right to bail. We see all that stuff. So give them free reign. Let's give a There's a proverb in Northern Ireland: give a beggar a horse, and he'll ride to hell. Just let them ride their horse to hell. And you know, so that's the worst. It bothers us. People get upset. They ruin their lives fretting over it. And then, of course, the actual worst thing was the successful creation of the Russia-Ukraine war, that the quote American end quote, meaning the un-American State Department, has been working for many, many years, starting very clearly in 2014, when the United States went all the way to the other corner of the globe to overthrow the government of Ukraine for the express reason that that government wanted peaceful, cooperative, friendly relations with their Russian Slavic Orthodox neighbor, and that did not suit the un-Americans who control our government and our State Department, whose allegiance is to another power in the world, and who didn't like that. So before we condemn Putin for going into a state on his very threshold, I think we need to look in the mirror and at Americans. With one finger pointing at Putin, there are three pointing back at America, because we created this war. We did this. We are guilty of everything we accuse other people of many, many times over. And so, you know, that's the worst. That people, a friend of mine is married to a Ukrainian, and he knew that I learned Russian as a kid, and I'm very pro-Russian. We met for lunch in Atlanta, and he asked me, with his Ukrainian wife there, Sam, are you pro-Ukrainian or pro-Russian? I said, yes, I'm pro-Ukrainian and I'm pro-Russian.
That's right.
I'm on the side you mentioned... of all the people, and the United States government and Secretary of State Blinken, who is another dual loyalty type, they actually hate Russians and Ukrainians, and that's why they have created this situation.
You mentioned what happened, of course, in 2014. People, I am assuming most people in this audience will know what you're referring to. We don't really have time to dig in deep to it, but there was basically a color revolution. You know, the American government would never rig our own elections, just the elections in the governments that they've toppled throughout the world. But certainly they could never.
They got their panties in a wad over the idea that Russia might try to influence our elections. But there's no question about it. We poured money and intelligence support to the revolution against the Ukrainian government in 2014. We poured money in to fund the parties that are opposed to Putin, parties that we create a government like Angela Merkel, our little pet, our little quisling. I hate to use that term in Germany. People who would open the borders of Russia to colonization by the Third World. People who would sign Russia up for the globalist program. People who would stop the resurrection of the Russian Orthodox Church and the rebuilding of the cathedrals and churches. We funded those people. And you know, we poured money into their system. Who are, you know, people think that when Jesus said, "Do unto others as you do unto the, you have them do unto you," that this is some kind of a mystical thing that nobody has thought of. It's just common sense. You know, you have to relate to people on a level of equality. If I say good morning to you and you don't say good morning back to me, just that, and we work in the same office, a year of that will spoil our relationship.
That's right.
And you know, we have done all this stuff. Every year our Congress appropriates a colossal budget for the express purpose, the admitted purpose, of interfering in elections and governments all over the planet. Who in the hell are we then to protest if Russia had done the same thing, which of course we know she didn't? It was all manufactured by lies by the FBI and the CIA and the deep state. Carrying out their duties as the our equivalent of the NKGB or the KGB. You know, it's all done. But anyway, we're not supposed to get on that subject. We're eating our time up.
Well, just give me a minute or two, because you're normally on for a full hour, and that's never enough. But tonight everybody's making abbreviated appearances. We haven't been able to cover a lot of the news this month because it's been Christmas and it's special events, and it's just been a different kind of month of broadcasting. But the odious Zelensky, who never changes his costume, appeared before Congress and received the standing ovation. Ann Coulter had a great line about that. Should we just file our tax returns directly to Zelensky next year? I mean, just give us a 1-minute take on Zelensky and your thoughts on what's going on there and with him.
two Republicans out of 435 elected congressmen, so-called representatives, who don't represent us, but represent almost entirely big money, the Chamber of Commerce, the Israeli Political Action Committee, and all of this coalition that oppresses us, two of them declined to clap and declined to stand up. So at least it's like in Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever, there were at least two righteous people in the Congress out of I guess it'd be 535. But you know, it's just obvious. Zelensky's not a Ukrainian. Ukrainians have been hated all my life. I've heard them, the Ukrainian Nazis. I've sat in high school and heard Holocaust survivors talk about Ukrainians and how awful they are. And then all of a sudden, Ukrainians are just wonderful and they're all marvelous. But, you know, but what about this doesn't fit? You know, it's just obvious. And all the stuff we do, this repulsive government that is making the name American stink all over the world. Yeah, I'm a native-born American. Virtually every single ancestor I have came here before the revolution. I'm descended from high-ranking officers on both my mother's and father's side from the revolution. But I can tell you, my patriotism is worn very thin. And I am keenly aware from traveling around the world just how hated this country is in European countries. So the people we think like us, they have to pretend to like us. So when you talk to them and they really think, this country is not liked, and we've done a lot to earn their hatred.
Oh, by God. Yep. More than people could ever imagine, and probably more than we even know. We'll be right back with the great and good Sam Dixon. One more segment, this special New Year's Eve live broadcast.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Not only are our guests making abbreviated appearances tonight, so too apparently are the commercial breaks. That wasn't the network's fault. That was the news feed that gets piped in was having a little signal difficulty. But that's fine. That gives us more time with Sam Dixon this New Year's Eve. And Mr. Producer, if you could just make sure the next commercial break runs, if we get it piped back up at its scheduled time, so we can get to Jared Taylor, who's coming up next. But it is New Year's Eve. New Year's, this is a time of year for reflection and rejuvenation. It's a bittersweet time of year as you look back on what's happened and still make plans and hopes and dreams for the future. And, you know, Auld Lang Syne, Sam, I don't know how you take your Auld Lang Syne, but I take mine with a military cadence. But I know you particularly are fond of that song. I have heard you lead group singings of that song and not just on New Year's Eve, throughout the year.
Well, it's a way to remember old times and a better age and departed comrades. It's a great song. And, the rest of the other verses are very nice, too. So, yes, I like the song very much. Group singing is something that has disappeared in America. When I was a child, there was a lot of group singing. The only place it survives now is in some churches where they still sing hymns. But it's just gone. People have no common repertory of songs. I used to occasionally be invited into schools to speak, usually as a freak. We had brought the freak in because they thought that I would be laughable. Maybe I was laughable. But what I would ask the students, the first thing I'd say, everybody who can sing a folk song, a real American folk song, or a folk song of your country of origin, of your family, in Europe, raise your hand. Usually not a single hand would go up. And then I'd say, anyone who can dance a folk dance, anybody that knows the Virginia Reel, or the tarantella, or some other folk dance, raise your hand. Not a hand would go up. And I would tell them, this is very unusual for a generation to come along with absolutely no connection with its past. And so I'm not blaming you. I'm not asking this to blame you, because you're not to blame. It's that teacher over there. That teacher is to blame, and the system the teacher represents. Your parents are to blame for not rearing you properly. You have a right to be angry at the faculty and your parents.
I can tell you weren't angling. You weren't angling for a return invitation, no. But rather making the one you had count.
There wouldn't be one anywhere. There would never be one. The thing that's so conspicuous is that people like you and me are never asked to appear. We are talked about, but we're never heard from. You know, these people in Congress, I like to say that these are the people that put the mock in democracy. This crowd running this Congress, they have had several hearings by pompous committees, self-important committees that are going to investigate hate and white supremacy. So, and who do they have come? They have Dr. Heidi Beirich. She comes and speaks, and various people from a Jewish racist group called the Anti-Defamation League, people who support a Jewish ethno-state with a wall around it for themselves, but condemn it for us. They come and talk, but you and I are never asked to talk. You know, in the bad old days of McCarthy and the House Committee on Un-American Activities, the communists came to speak. They were allowed to make opening statements and concluding statements and edit things in the record and be heard.
Yeah. Now,
in the McCarthy era of the House Committee, if they just asked people to come from the John Birch Society and talk, that would be the equivalent, except the John Birch Society had a lot more credibility.
Well, it's like you've said before, they pan McCarthy, but what they are doing is such an exaggeration of what they claimed he did that it's just a joke to anyone paying attention. And I also like what you said a moment ago. We're often talked about, but rarely heard from. And that's I'll steal that one. I'll put that into my bag of many Dixonisms that I've stolen.
They ought to have James Evers and Jared Taylor there. You know, these awful people. Let the world see the monsters.
That's right.
You bring the monster in. Let them see the terrible monster. They won't do that because they're all liars, and they know they're liars. And they're there to stage a lying presentation like the January 6th committee that is after Trump.
Well, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that word, because with only a couple, we got about 5 minutes remaining. I forgot that my internal clock is off because the commercial break didn't run the length that it normally would have. But we actually have about 4 or 5 minutes, just enough time to get into. And we talked a little bit about January 6th with Steve King last week and on Christmas Eve, and I thought he had a pretty good take on that. But Trump, all right, so Trump is supposedly running for president. He hasn't really done much since the announcement. A lot of people are talking about the referral that the January 6th committee sent to Merrick Garland, and they're talking about, you know, he may or may not be indicted in New York. You, Sam, think that Trump will most certainly be indicted and that there's a very good chance he'll be in prison, but it might not come from where they're looking at or talking about right now. What do you think?
Well, there's something going on in Atlanta that's gotten very little attention. I think the Gateway Pundit has mentioned it, and the New York Times has mentioned it, but it's basically going on unnoticed. And that is, we have an African-American district attorney named Fani Willis, and she sees an opportunity to promote herself. And so she is holding grand jury hearings to seeking an indictment against Trump because of the phone call he made to the Secretary of State, the Rhino Raffensperger. In which he said, find me 11,000 votes. Well, that statement can be a very innocent statement. And you're not supposed to indict people unless you're not supposed to prosecute them unless you have a reasonable belief that they can be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That is not enough to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But she's doing that. And she's doing this in a jurisdiction, Fulton County, that voted about 82% for Biden and is about 50% African-American. My guess is that African-Americans probably make up 60% of the members of the grand jury, and they're probably 10% of the people in the grand jury voted for Trump. She only needs a majority vote to get him indicted. And she's also seeking what they call a RICO indictment against him, racketeering indictment. And she's trying to indict all of the Republican electors, too, and several officials of the Republican Party. I don't see any way that she's not going to get an indictment. Grand juries are made up of lay people who are just putty in the hands of district attorneys. I've had associate district attorneys or friends of mine laugh and say that they could indict ham sandwiches with their grand juries. And, you know, the grand jury, there's no defense counsel there. There's nobody to put up the case against the indictment. It's only the district attorney. And the grand jury is going to be people that are going to want this. They're going to be lapping it up. They're going to want it. And she doesn't dare drop the prayer for it. I mean, she spent millions of dollars of taxpayer money and focused the DA's office on this thing to the exclusion of prosecuting real criminals. You can't get a forgery indictment now in Fulton County. You can't get anybody prosecuted. We're having an epidemic of forgery because they're busy with their grandstanding. But anyway, they're going to indict Trump, and then he's going to be tried by a Fulton County judge. And I can tell you virtually all of them are in lockstep with the system, and he'll be tried in front of a Fulton County jury made up of people who hate him. I don't see any way that he's going to get I think the chance of him getting acquitted is there's no chance he won't be indicted, and his chance of winning a criminal case in front of that kind of jury is 1 in 50.
So we're talking about a criminal case, not a civil case where he'd pay a fine, but where there might actually be prison time?
Go to jail, yeah. And he'll be tried in front of a judge who will be hell-bent on getting into the docudrama and showing that he or she is on the side of the woke people, getting a pat on the head from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and National Public Radio.
So can you imagine a former president being in, you know, in a circus kangaroo court?
It's like I'm saying, this is what I would have him do. It's the kind of thing that would go on in Zaire or Uganda and other squalid third world countries. And that's why you're having it in America, because the American government has become like the government of Idi Amin. It is a squalid, nasty, lying, obviously corrupt third world government. And so this is good for us.
It is not good for Trump, but good for us. I would love to see what those tens of millions of diehard Trump voters, you know, how much further they radicalize if they pull a stunt like that. And I think it is very much within the realm of possibility. And if that does happen, we're setting up a remote studio in Atlanta with you and for weekly updates.
Probability. The whole thing is so hypocritical. These people are just made up of hypocrites. You look at that January 6th committee. One of the four crimes they want Trump indicted and prosecuted for is that he sought to defraud the American government by making false statements. Now, who is on that committee pontificating and preening herself before an adoring media in bringing that charge? None other than Liz, weapons of mass destruction.
Yes. There it is.
Cheney, a woman who, with her father, has made millions and tens of millions of dollars out of the war. It's the sleazy, something worse than prostitution and drugs. and who did it by lying to the American people about non-existent weapons of mass destruction, as a result of which they added $6 trillion to the national debt, which went into the pocket of them and their friends, and they caused thousands of Americans to lose their lives, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis lose their lives, and we've got all these guys on television, on Fox News, in wheelchairs, while that little woman, that little, I won't use the word, it rhymes.
I know what you want to say.
Well, while that woman sits there and we need to indict President Trump. He's morally unfit to hold for
You stole it right out of my pocket. I had it in mind to say that Bush and Bush et al., along with obviously Cheney and the whole system, countless dead, maimed Americans, Iraqis. That's not a crime. That's nobody got indicted for that. But Trump. But that just
fraud,
goes to show.
Talk about fraud on the American government. Fraud on the American government. Cheney, Sam, are the absolute gurus.
Scum of the earth. We're out of time, though. It's never enough time with you. But Happy New Year, brother. We'll talk to you again soon. Jared Taylor up next. Thank you.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com. Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Scottish bagpipe rendition of Auld Lang Syne. You could do a lot worse than that, could you not? Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance, author of Paved with Good Intentions, White Identity, and If We Do Nothing. I'm at amren.com right now. You should be too, but not if you're driving in your car and listening on the radio. But when you get home, amren.com, send them a donation. Send them your support. They've been doing it longer than I, and not a lot of people can say that as we head into a brand new year. We've got at least three of the top five most interviewed guests on the program tonight, including number one himself, Jared Taylor, right here, right now, live on your radio, New Year's Eve. Happy New Year, Jared.
Happy New Year to you, Brother James Edwards. I did admire those bagpipes. I detected them. They thrilled my Scots ancestors' souls. Yes, they did.
Each and every verse in that particular rendition sort of ups the ante, and I'll email it to you later. But it's a good one. I shared it with Sam Dixon as well, who was on immediately before you tonight, this New Year's Eve. Hey, listen, thank you for coming on. It's not easy to get guests on a live broadcast on New Year's Eve, unless it's our guests and in this program, because you want to be with friends and family on holidays, and that's exactly what everybody coming on the show tonight is. And everybody who I asked came on tonight, and Jared included, of course, in that company. And thank you so much for that, Jared. So it's a time of reflection and rejuvenation, as I told Sam. We're looking at back on 2022 with an eye upon the horizon, with 2023 just a few hours away. Where do we stand tonight, Jared, as a people and as a collective going into the new year?
Well, I did want to, first of all, reply to the fact that we all agreed to join because your guests are very loyal to you, James, and for good reason. We admire the work you do, and you are very much a comrade in this fight. As for where we stand, well, you know, this year was a very bad year in some respects, and to me, the worst aspect of it, really by far, was this terrible fratricidal war in Ukraine.
Yes.
I did not think I would ever see another full-scale war of white people slaughtering each other, and every death is grievous to me. Of course, it is true that the Russians were the aggressors here, but we so much helped goad the Russians into feeling that their vital interests were attacked, as in fact they were. And I don't want to go into the wrongs and the rights of this, but it really infuriates me the way people see this as a fight between angels.
Well, and you know, and that's an old trick of the American government, of course, Jared, to goad other countries into war. That's not the first time. And then if we can't entice them into firing the first shot, well, we could do it ourselves. But just because it's the government of America, I don't necessarily want to use the terms our and their government, but it doesn't mean it's a righteous thing just because it's the government of this country that we live in.
No. And I hate these gloating videos that the Sun newspaper puts up. Russian tanks exploded, bombed one after another, as if they were not frightened young people in every one of those tanks, all blowing up and dying. No, this is absolutely horrible to me. And then we've got this pushy squirt Zelensky. I mean, I understand he thinks he's defending his country and all that, but he tells us that this is a fight for democracy. Well, phooey, it's a fight for democracy. He's banned all the political opposition. It's a fight for his country, okay, but to tell us that we're investing in democracy and Americans all fall for this rubbish,
But the $100 billion he's gotten, he came up here with the bag last week, and as I shared with Sam a moment ago, Ann Coulter had said, should we send our tax returns directly made payable to him, or what's going on here? It seems like he could have afforded a change of costume at some point in the last year. He's been in the same clothes this whole time, but this whole thing is just pageantry in a way, although the death and the carnage is very real, and it is just a terrible, terrible shame. As you said, this fratricidal war amongst our people. Again, here we are.
Yes, that was, to me, absolutely the worst thing. And I urge all of your listeners who are men or women who pray to pray for peace. Those young white men facing each other across the battle lines in the freezing cold, they need a chance to go home and start families. Many of them, there are 100,000 casualties on either side. None of those men probably will start families. No, every day, I grieve over this terrible blood.
Amen. But, no, that's a fantastic sentiment to share tonight as we share our hopes for what will come, and we hope that this will end and there can be a favorable resolution. It's hard to believe with the American government sort of driving NATO. And we know, listen, I mean, you know, you want to talk about the treachery of the American government. You go all the way back to the war between the states and what they did to our ancestors in the South, burning them out of house and home, defenseless civilian populations. This is not a good country that we live in, and it hasn't been for a hell of a long time. We have good people here. But the overseers of the whole operation, how far do you have to go back to where they were putting the best interests of the people at heart? 1700s or early 18th? I don't know.
It seems that way. You got to go back mighty far. But, you know, for me, the best thing that happened this year also was on the other side of what we used to call the Iron Curtain. And it was the re-election of Viktor Orban,
yes,
by a landslide, to a third term. What a wonderful man he is. And it was just last summer in a speech in Romania, he said all of those great things. He says, Western Europeans, they're no longer nations. They're just conglomerations of people. And he says, he refers to Western Europe as the post-West. The West has moved east. And then he said that remarkable thing, we in Hungary, we will accept a mix of European people, but we will never be mixed race. Wow. And then
a prime minister, a head of state, saying that, and not some backwater state. I mean, Hungary is a pretty big player, saying that publicly and never backing down. Jared, that's remarkable. That's absolutely remarkable.
Oh, I was thrilled. And then in that same speech, he recommended that people read The Camp of the Saints. And that's how they would understand the psychological disarmament, this psychological inability for the West to defend itself. What a wonderful man. My gosh, wouldn't it be great to have a leader like that in this country?
Boy. Yeah, have we ever had one? I mean, I guess so. Maybe. I mean, we had Jefferson Davis. We had George Washington. Yes. But like you said, you have to go back mighty far. But, you know, this is the thing that is animating. I mean, so we were talking about the best and the worst, the war, the inflation, that's bad. The best is, you know, there has been an increased level of white racial consciousness here in America, certainly, and throughout the Western world as well, all the way up to, I think that's, a top-end level of it, what you just mentioned with Orban. But it's there, and it's beneath the surface, and it's simmering. And I think, Jared, that there is a level of discontent that is ready to explode if someone would just step into the moment and harness it. And I never believe that the reclamation of our destiny is as far away as it may be. I think it's a thing that happens very gradually, and then all of a sudden, this is something that if the right man, the right person, the right spirit, the right time, I think the time is right. In many ways, if he gets there and is not afraid, well, and there's a lot to be afraid of. They will ruin you. I mean, we've seen this with celebrities like Kanye West. I mean, it's a very formidable situation you're stepping into. But the people are there. But the people need a leader. Revolutions are top down.
Yes. I think that the person who would be most invulnerable would not be some kind of business magnate. Even the MyPillow guy, he took a terrible beating financially, but he has come along nonetheless. What we need is a congressman or a senator, or a governor, that would be wonderful, who really comes right out and says the things that need to be said, just as Viktor Orban does, and who profits from telling the truth at the polls. I think that's not inconceivable. That can happen. That could happen next year. It could happen the year after that. I agree with you. There is just this rumbling, boiling discontent, and at some point it's going to bubble and boil over.
It has to. I mean, that is a law of nature. That is, you reach that boiling point, and it has to have a release. And we talk about, I mean, this is something that's observable, a social stress level. Have to have a release. I mean, you had a societal stress level release during the war between the states. It builds up to a certain level of discontent, and it has to be resolved one way or another. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be resolved favorably, but it means that we will have an opportunity. And I think that we will live to see that, Jared.
Oh, I think you certainly will. And,
no. Hey, you're in better shape than I am. I've seen you planking and all kinds of things. So,
Well, I think there are definite possibilities there. One of the good things, of course, was the richest man in the world. Apparently, he's no longer the richest man in the world after Tesla stock took a dive. But buying out Twitter and releasing all these files that show just how colossally corrupt our bureaucracies, our intelligence bureaucracies are. It's wonderful that this be just laid out for the whole world to see.
Now, Elon Musk now, though, has to free Jared Taylor and get at J.A.R. Taylor back on Twitter. And then I tell you, that's something we can celebrate in the coming year. Jared, an hour with you is never enough. These abbreviated appearances only whet the appetite, but I want to thank you again for coming on. I know you have things to do tonight, but thank you for coming on, even for a short stint, and we will talk to you again very soon. We're never far away.
Always a pleasure and an honor, Brother James, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, brother. Talk to you again very soon. And the Parade of All Stars continues next in our second hour. Thank you, Jared. Amran.com, the best of the best.